Another edition of Locked On Titans. I'm Jimmy Morris, joined as always by Terry Lambert. Terry, how are you tonight?
Doing pretty well. What's up, man?
Not too much. Doing good. Hope everybody had a good Memorial Day. Obviously, a time that we have to remember the people that have given their lives so that we have the freedoms that we have. So we're always thankful for those people and thankful for those that are still active duty and veterans that are still here with us, again, for just letting us have the freedoms that we have to, you know, mess around and do this podcast. So I hope everybody had a good day with that. I got to spend time with family and friends and all that good stuff. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about just kind of expectations for this team and kind of what we think Mike Vrabel needs to accomplish in his first year to get the fan base behind him. Before we do that, we'll remind you, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMorrisMCM. Terry's at TLambertFB. Podcast account at Locked On Titans. You can also find our work at MusicCityMiracles.com, where we cover the Titans for SB Nation. So check us out there, and you can subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, any place you get your podcasts, you can find us there as well. All right, so this idea Terry brought up from a Jim Wyatt mailbag, and just kind of an interesting conversation as far as what the expectations are in this first year and what we would consider a success. We were just kind of talking before we jumped on the podcast here about last year and how, you know, Titans were winning. It was ugly. You know, they were heading to the playoffs with that win over the Jaguars. And still, it was the fan base wasn't really bought in. There was still a lot of hesitation. If you listen to the local radio shows here, they were talking a lot about, you know, why is this town not more excited about this team? Why are they not behind the team like they were, you know, in those early playoff runs the Titans had when they first came to Nashville? And we know the reasons. We talked a lot about them last year as the year went on with the offense and the coaching staff and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, just curious what we think the difference will be with Mike Vrabel and, you know, how we think the fan base will react to that. So we're going to get a little bit into that tonight. Before we do that, we want to tell you about a brand new sponsor we have on the podcast. Guys, remember the days when you're always ready to go in bed? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. Since they're chewable, they work twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever that opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code locked on to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, so Mike Vrabel, first year head coach. Takes over a team that won a playoff game. That's not something that you see too often. You know, most of the time, if a team wins a playoff game, their coach is not getting fired. I'm not going to, you know, rehash all of that and why, you know, we thought that was the right decision. But it does kind of have the bar set higher than it would be for a team that was coming off, you know, a 2 or 3 win season. And a new coach just gets to the job. There's not as much talent as the Titans have and whatever. So there are going to be some expectations on Mike Vrabel with taking over this team. So, Terry, I'll kind of kick it to you to start off the discussion. What do you think determines a successful season for the Titans?
I think it's entirely tied to Marcus Mariota. And that's weird to say. You know, it's all about wins and losses at the end of the day, but how do you get to wins? And that answer is having a quarterback, and having a quarterback that's playing at a very high level. That's something that me and you both think the Titans have, and Marcus Mariota didn't necessarily see it last year. And like you said, we went into it a lot during the season. What's wrong with number 8? What's up with this offense? You know, why is he throwing so many interceptions? But me and you both believe it was all scheme related. So at the end of the day, Titans won a playoff game, got to the final eight in the NFL, and it wasn't good enough because Marcus Mariota wasn't playing well. So that's where I think this is. I think this fan base would be happy with an 8-win season, but you no longer have the question of whether or not Marcus Mariota is the guy. If Mariota comes out and proves it without a doubt and convinces every fan in this fan base, which will never happen, but if he does that and the Titans miss the playoffs, I think Titans fans are going to be okay with that.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess it's hard to speak for everybody, but I'm with you. If you go back and listen to our shows from last year during the season, you know, they had the trip out west, the Titans did, where they played the Cardinals and the 49ers. And lost both of those games, two games that, you know, should have – I mean, the Titans were better than both of those teams. Games that we really thought they would win. If they win one of those, they win the division. I mean, you know, just all the stuff there. But if you go back and listen to the shows, we felt better after those two games than after a lot of the wins, because it was in those games we started to see Marcus, like, look like himself a little bit more. It looked like he was out there making decisions quickly, was processing things more quickly, played better. And we talked about that, about how, you know, we would rather have a 9-17 that misses the playoffs but feel good about where Marcus Mariota was than a 10-6 team that is a wild card team or wins the division or whatever it was. And that may sound a little bit crazy, but like you said, I mean, in this league, it's all about the quarterback. It's all about having that guy. We think Marcus is that guy. I think we saw enough of him in the years prior to last year. And I don't know what happened. I mean, he looked good in Trubisky's offense 2 years ago. But last year, it was a disaster. And I mean, you go back and watch those games. And if you watch the Titans, you understand. We don't have to go, like we said, real in-depth about that. But I think maximizing the talent on the roster is, I guess, really the first expectation I have for this new coaching staff, and the thing that I will determine it as being a success if they are able to do that. Because we've talked about the schedule is tougher, at least as we sit here in at the end of May. You know, obviously a lot will change between now and September. A lot will change from September to October to November. I mean, you know, teams change with injuries and all that kind of stuff, and sometimes teams just aren't as good as we thought they would be. But the schedule looks tougher on paper right now than it did last year. So, you know, I think it's on one hand, it's going to be tough because if they don't win 10 games again, then you think, okay, well, they've taken a step back. But I think there's a whole lot more to it than that. And I think that, like you said, you're not ever going to – I mean, unless they win the Super Bowl, right, you're not ever going to have the entire fan base feel like it was a successful season. But I think that – the majority of the fan base, the ones that really watch the game and understand what's going on, I think if the offense looks better, if, you know, the defense looks better, you've got all this talent, if it plays up to the level, you know, week in and week out, if we don't see those lulls last year that we would see in games where just inexplicably they would come out just entirely flat and get themselves in a big hole, if we don't see that kind of stuff that we saw last year, I think to me, you have to say it was a success almost regardless of record. Now, if they go 6-10, I mean, that's a different conversation. But if you're in the 8-9-10 win range, I think they could go 8-8 and have a successful season. That might sound a little bit ridiculous, but I really think that's a possibility.
No, I'm with you, and you got to keep in mind, regression to the mean is a real thing in the NFL. Titans played a lot of close games and won a lot of close games. You know, that Ravens game, Bengals game, Browns game, I'm sure I'm missing some. But any one of those could have been losses for the Titans. So NFL is so fickle, too. You see playoff teams go 9-7 one year, and next year they're in the running for the first pick in the NFL draft. That's just how things work. So it's hard to make generalizations. But at the same time, you know, you look what you added on defense. You've got Harold Landry now. You've added Rashawn Evans. You've added a top corner in Malcolm Butler. So you're loaded on defense. And then suddenly you're hoping this offense can be better with a new scheme. Deion Lewis is going to bring something that DeMarco Murray didn't. So you're hoping Marcus Mariota is going to take a step forward. It's a really strange situation, you know, and last year was a really strange season. So I think the Titans got better on both sides of the ball, and it wouldn't surprise me if they won less games. So that's really weird to say, but that's kind of the nature of the beast in the NFL.
Yeah, and like you said, so many times I think people just look at box scores, just look at records, and that's the way they make a determination. And, you know, it is a razor's edge between 10 wins and 7 or 8 wins a lot of times. And like you said, close games last year. And look, you know, Corey Davis missed a lot of the season. Well, Jonathan Cyprian missed time. DeMarco Murray got hurt slash kind of fell off. But the Titans were fortunate with injuries last year, too. Marcus Mariota, you know, missed a game and a half, basically, even though he was banged up for a good part of the year, and he was coming off of the severe injury from the year before. So, I mean, all those things play into. So, you know, you can't sit here and think, okay, well, they have to go 10-6 at least again, or I'm going to say it was the wrong thing to fire Mike Mularkey, or it's not going to be a success unless they're 10-6 or something like that. I mean, I think you have to be careful with that kind of stuff because, like you said, there's just a lot of variables in the NFL. It seems seemingly more so than in the other league that you watch. So those are kind of things that to keep in mind. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit about maybe some individual expectations and how we'll judge success or failure on that. Okay, so when you think about that, obviously, number one, you think about Marcus Mariota, right? I mean, and what determines a successful season for him. You know, I think it's kind of one of those things we'll know it when we see it. And I think, again, Terry and I have kind of, you know, planted our feet in that was a bad scheme. He didn't feel comfortable out there in that scheme. I still think the injury played a little bit into it as well. Just coming off of that leg and how bad it was. And so we think things are going to look a lot different this year. I think when you put him in a scheme that he feels more comfortable in, play to his strengths a little bit more, I mean, I think that you see those things, you'll see him be a different guy. And, you know, I don't know exactly what numbers we would, and maybe you have an idea of what you would consider number success. But I think it'll be a thing where we can watch him the first couple of weeks of this season and be able to tell, okay, this is a scheme that he feels comfortable in. They're ready to go. He's the guy.
Yeah, I don't want to put a number on it. Yeah, that's kind of dumb. You say 3,600 yards and he throws for 3,500 yards and call that a failure. I want to see the eye movement. Now, I saw that in his rookie year. I watched him undress linebackers, just look them off, take them totally out of play, and snap back around and hit the open receiver that he just schemed open with his eyes, you know? So I want to see little stuff like that. That's the stuff that we didn't see last year. Instead, we saw him stare down receivers. He looked unsure of what he was seeing, and you know, it goes back to him not being on the same page as his receivers. How many times did we see Rishard Matthews get blamed after the game for running the wrong route? Same with Corey Davis, same with Taywan Taylor. Any receiver was guilty of that, according to Mike Mularkey. So I want to see him trust what he's seeing. I want to see him look comfortable again. That was the whole deal last year. He just did not look comfortable. So I think if he trusts what he's seeing once again, like he did in that rookie season, like he did in year two even, yeah, that's where you're going to see him start putting up the big numbers. And that's when we'll know Marcus Mariota's back.
Yeah, confidence and trust, I think, are two key words. Confidence in the scheme and then trust in the receivers, everybody else to be in position as to where they were. And again, I think it goes back to everybody being unsure on what was going on last year. You know, then, I mean, I think the second biggest guy that we have to point to here is Corey Davis. You know, we saw flashes of what he could do, especially in that, you know, the game against the Patriots where he had a couple touchdown catches. You know, I think, again, that I'm going to give him a pass for his rookie year. One, he was injured a lot, too. It was a bad scheme. But he's a guy that they need to get something out of. He needs to play like a number five pick. And I think that if they're able to do that, again, work a scheme that, that fits his strengths, you know, that he feels comfortable in. But, I mean, he's the probably the second most important guy on offense. Is that crazy?
No, I think you're right on that. And if you went back and watched the games, if you watched Corey Davis from the overhead, the All-22, you saw him getting open. It was just a matter of, again, not being on the same page with Marcus Mariota. You know, I can remember three or four times off the top of my head, Corey Davis being wide open and Mariota just missing him. So, yeah, I'm totally with you. And we've talked a lot about the Titans not adding another receiver, so they're putting a lot of faith in Corey Davis. I think that's the right move. I'd certainly feel better if there was another veteran presence just in case somebody gets hurt. But Corey Davis has that ability. You saw it against New England. You saw it in his first game against Oakland. His first catch was him, you know, just mossing somebody down the sidelines. So the ability is certainly there. It's just a matter of staying healthy. And I'm so excited to see him in this offense and kind of that Robert Woods role. Just going up and being physical and catching footballs from Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, he's a guy, and then you look at the backs. I mean, you know, there's a lot of talk last year about the workload split between, you know, DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry. And, you know, at some point it just got ridiculous with how stubborn the coaching staff was being on still running Murray out there, still giving him his touches, you know, that kind of stuff, when it was clear that he was done. Now, we talked about how Derrick Henry wasn't as good as everybody wanted him to be, and you saw that in a couple of the big games that, I mean, he wasn't very good in that Jaguars game. He wasn't very good in the Patriots playoff game. You know, now they got kind of blown away there and didn't have as much of a chance. But I don't care about who starts and who doesn't. I don't even care about the workload distribution. I just want to see them be used smartly. I want to see, you know, Derrick Henry get the type of carries that Derrick Henry should get. I want to see Derrick Henry, you know, run with more power. I hope they can get that out of him, because you need a guy that can go get you a yard when you need a yard. And, you know, Derrick Henry looks like he should be that guy, but we've talked a lot about how he's not necessarily that's not necessarily his game. And you can look back at some plays last year where he kind of left those kind of yards on the field. So you want to see more of that of him. And then, you know, just the way they use Deion Lewis, that's the other thing that I'm interested in. You know, he stayed healthy for the most part last year. He's had some injury issues before last season. But, you know, just the way they're going to use him. But, I mean, again, if both of those guys are clicking, if you're seeing them have a lot of, you know, successful carries by, you know, if you look at the metrics of what 60% of the yardage on first, or 40% of the yardage on first down, 60% of the yardage on second down, and then if you're getting third and fourth down carries, getting, you know, whatever is required to pick up there, and then just seeing Deion Lewis catch balls out of the backfield. You know, if we run a successful screen, you know, like in a few consecutive weeks, that would be awesome. I know they hit the big one last year, what, against the Jaguars. Derrick Henry had the big one in that game. But, you know, this team, as long as they've been here, have never been able to run a screen and have gotten just murdered by them on the other side. So, I mean, I'll take that as success. If you look back at their screen plays for the year, and the majority of them were actually effective.
I'm excited, and this sounds kind of dumb to say, I'm excited to have a running back that Marcus Mariota can check down to. Yeah, it just seems like everyone in the league utilizes that little check down on third down, and it usually picks up the first down. Titans didn't do that. DeMarco Murray didn't do a whole lot outside of a couple plays, you know, from behind the line of scrimmage. But I'm excited to see Deion Lewis in that role. I think that's going to be a huge, huge upgrade. I think he's going to be used more than Derrick Henry. You talk about how unique of a running back Derrick Henry is, the big body home run hitter that is not really a bruiser. He's a really interesting guy. So I think it wouldn't shock me to see the Titans kind of use Lewis in spots where you think they're going to use Henry, to use him in that short area, short yardage down. Type situation, a guy that's going to use his agility to get to the hole, and then kind of use Derrick Henry as a home run hitter. So that's a little bit backwards, but that's kind of who they are as runners.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, it'll be good to have the combination of those guys. And then just quickly on the defensive side of the ball, a pass rush you know, like you said, excited to see Harold Landry and Rashawn Evans. I think Rashawn Evans is going to get an opportunity to have chances to rush the passer, more so than a lot of inside linebackers would in a 3-4. I think they're going to use him that way. Landry make an impact. Those guys come in, and you just have confidence in where that leaves this defense when, you know, Derek Morgan and Brian Rakpo are potentially both gone in 2019. I think a successful season is seeing them transition over to those guys, feeling confident about what you have in a pass rush with those two. You know, obviously, Jarrell Casey will still be here, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, just having a secondary that is not confused, is not, you know, constantly getting torched over the top. I don't think we'll see that from this group. I think they're a lot better. But, I mean, my expectation for this defense are to be top 10, 15 defense in the league. I don't think that's crazy. And I think they need to be with the amount of talent they have on that side of the ball, with the amount of, you know, investment they put in that. You know, we talked about they've spent so many draft resources on the offense over the last few years, and even in years when we really, really thought they were going to go defense. But now, at this point, when you're looking at Adoree Jackson's first-round pick last year, Rashawn Evans' first-round pick this year, Harold Landry they traded up to get in the second round this year, they signed Malcolm Butler, you signed Logan Ryan last year, you got Kevin Byard, who's an all-pro safety, you know, Jonathan Cyprian, they gave a big free agent contract to 2 years ago. They've invested a lot on that side of the ball now, and they need to see some of that stuff come to fruition. And so this needs to be a team that, you know, is not led purely by the offense or led purely by the defense, which it seems like it's always kind of been the case here. You need to see really two top 10 units, in my opinion.
Yeah, and they've got a lot more multiple. That's kind of been the buzzword since Vrabel got here. He won't really commit to a scheme, but we know he's going to run a 3-4 base most of the time. But now you've got Rashawn Evans, who's a middle linebacker that can get after the passer off the edge. Got a really good burst and can get around the edge. So you throw Harold Landry into the mix with Brian Arakpo, Derek Morgan. A lot of different things you can do creativity-wise. So I'm really, really excited to see that. Excited to see how they utilize Jayon Brown in year two. I think he's a really good player that not enough people are talking about. But like you said, that secondary better be great. You know, so much has been invested there. You now can go five deep. You know, that's up there. You know, tops in the leagues. I'd put this secondary up against just about anyone. So in today's league, where everybody's throwing the ball around, you know, virtually everybody throws for 4,500 yards, it seems, you got to have that secondary. So interested to see how quickly Harold Landry comes along. I think a successful season for him means that we're probably clamoring for him over playing over Derek Morgan or Brian Arakpo by the second half of the season.
Yeah, absolutely, and being, you know, like leading the rotation instead of just part of the rotation. Right. So, anyway, I mean, I am very optimistic about this team. Like I said, the schedule is tougher. They're gonna have to play well to win a lot of games. But I think there's top to bottom, there's more talent on this roster than there has been in a long time. And you know, again, will I be disappointed if they don't make the playoffs? Absolutely, because you know that's kind of what we feel like they should be. We saw it last year, and this team is more talented. I don't have any doubt about that. But I think they can have a successful season even missing the playoffs. Am I way off there?
That's about how I think. You know, we talk about how fickle the NFL. Things change, man. There's a reason some sports books have Tennessee's over under 7.5. So, you know, they've got the third best odds on Bovada right now to win the AFC South. So I think a lot of people are going to come in with unrealistic expectations, but it's not the end of the world if they don't make the playoffs. But with all that being said, I think they're going to be right in it. Texans are have a chance to be really good. Jaguars are going to be really good with that defense. We'll see about the Colts, but this is a tough division. So not the end of the world if it doesn't happen this year.
Absolutely. So anyway, so that kind of wrap up the expectations talk. We'd love your feedback on that. So if you want to hit us up on Twitter, or on the site, or you know, whatever. We'd love to hear your feedback on that. And if we're crazy for saying, you know, that we could be sitting here at the end of December, January, whenever the season ends, and saying that, you know, even though they missed the playoffs, it was a successful first season under Mike Vrabel. All right, so that'll do it for this episode. We will have our Kenny Britt retrospective, so to speak, here in the next couple of days. Keep an eye out for that, and we'll probably do one more of those this week. So we'll talk about who the next player will be. If you have suggestions, again, hit us up on Twitter. We'd love to hear it. So for Terry, this is Jimmy saying thanks for listening to Locked On Titans, and we'll talk to you again later this week.